Welcome to episode number 490 of The Sports Report. I'm Paul Roberts on GrizzlyProductions.tv. New shows every Monday on The Grizz. The show is also free in the podcast section of iTunes. And you can follow me on Twitter. I'm at TheSportsRPT. TheSportsRPT on Twitter. The Columbus Day edition of The Sports Report. No holidays, though, for this guy. We will start in the NFL. More big-time players, unfortunately, suffering serious injuries. Two of the faces of the league are done for the season. Aaron Rodgers stuck it to Dallas again. Nothing new there. Big Ben looked like Vinny Testaverde in the 1987 Fiesta Bowl between Miami and Penn State. You remember that one? It was interception palooza. How many of you got knocked out of your survivor pool, by the way, because of that upset by the Jets? The Chiefs are the best team in football. Cam Newton was phenomenal at Detroit. There is no truth to the rumor that Vice President Mike Pence left the Colts 49ers game because both teams stink. It actually had nothing to do with players kneeling during the anthem. He just did not want to watch that slop. But nothing's worse than Jets Browns. It may have been more fun to mow the lawn than watch that debacle. The Jets are 3-2. What? I thought the odds of winning Powerball were better than the Jets having three wins in early October. That's life in the NFL. Lots to get to coming up. College football, two top 10 teams lost, and Florida State is 1-3. What a wild finish with Miami. LSU bounced back to bite the Gators. Thought it was really, really cool for them to play some Tom Petty down there. They had 90,000 people singing at the stadium. It's a beautiful thing. Really great gesture. I'm a Tom Petty fan. Unfortunately, he passed away. He actually was a groundskeeper down there at the Swamp at one time. So that was a cool scene. If you haven't seen the video, Google that. Really neat what they did down there for the Florida LSU game. And how about the boos that rained down on Joe Girardi at Yankee Stadium Sunday night? I'll discuss his blunder, which was one for the ages in Game 2 of the ALDS. All of that here on episode number 490 of the Sports Report podcast. Thanks so much for tuning in each and every Monday. Keep those five-star reviews coming if you listen in the podcast section of iTunes. We appreciate that. And let me know what you think about the show on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. Sometimes life just isn't fair, right? J.J. Watt helps to raise more than $35 million to help hurricane victims. The guy works his butt off to get in shape for the season, does a lot in that Houston community, always is smiling, seems like a really, really nice dude, and then bam, season over. He suffered a fracture in his left leg in the Sunday night game against Kansas City. Bill O'Brien confirmed that the three-time Defensive Player of the Year is out for the season. Watt missed the last 13 games last year because of a back injury, and now this. And he tweeted, "I'm sorry." I mean, if there's ever been anybody who doesn't need to apologize, it is J.J. Watt for everything this guy has done off the field. And looking at the big picture, what he did to help hurricane victims is a heck of a lot more important than any NFL game. But he still goes on Twitter, tells the fans, "I'm sorry." I mean, that's the type of guy that he is. And if that wasn't bad enough, the Texans also found out that they're going to be without outside linebacker Whitney Mercilus for the rest of the season because of a torn pectoral muscle. He had 19 and a half sacks over the last two seasons. And we hear that next man up cliche all the time in the world of sports, whether it's football, baseball, basketball, it doesn't matter. We always hear next man up. I'm sorry. You do not replace guys like Watt and Mercilus. No way. This is devastating news for the Texans. Same is true for the Giants. Odell Beckham Jr. broke his left ankle on a gruesome play versus the Chargers. I saw one replay, and that was enough. I had to turn away. I could not watch that again. He was in a lot of pain and then eventually carted off the field. Like him or not, and I think he does some dumb things. His touchdown celebration against the Eagles was just absurd, really immature. But you hate to see anybody get injured, especially like that. The Giants' entire receiving core has been decimated. Brandon Marshall, Sterling Shepard, Dwayne Harris, all hurt on Sunday. Harris broke his foot, so he's done. They were down to one healthy wide receiver, and that was Roger Lewis. I can't remember, maybe you can, I can't remember so many players at the same position going down in the same game like that. It's unreal. They're moving tight ends to play wide receiver because they didn't have anybody. And I heard a lot of the media bobbleheads saying, well, the Giants season is over now. Huh? Where have these jokers been? Let me tell you something. The Giants season was over long before Sunday. I mean, did it really take you until 0-5 to figure out that the G-men were done? Seriously? What have you been watching? And you should know the stats. If you start 0-2, you only have a 10% chance of making the playoffs in the NFL. When they lost week 3 at Philadelphia, I said right then, it is over. How much more did you need to see? The offensive line is atrocious. They can't protect the quarterback. Eli's not mobile, so he can't avoid the pressure. There's no running game there. And the defense isn't as good as it was last season when it carried this team. They are a mess. Like my 8-year-old nephew playing with slime. A mess. Just kidding there. He's actually a really, really good kid. Other injuries from week 5. Kansas City tight end Travis Kelce is in the concussion protocol. How good is that dude? I mean, he jumped over another defender Sunday night. Bills tight end Charles Clay had surgery for a torn meniscus. He leads Buffalo in receiving yards. He is a really good pass-catching tight end. That is a big loss for Tyrod Taylor and the Buffalo Bills. Because they've had some games this year with Shady McCoy where he hasn't been able to get going. They haven't been able to run the football. Last week, we were talking about Derek Carr, Marcus Mariota, Dalvin Cook. I mean, the injuries just don't stop. It's a very violent game. A season, a career could end on any given play. It's a dangerous sport, no question about it. You have super fast human beings. People out there running 4.4, 4.5 40s with enormous size, 300 plus pounds, and they're crashing into each other on every play. It is a human train wreck. That's what it is, a human train wreck. And there's a big risk involved. That's why I don't go crazy when I hear about these salaries like some people do. Number one, if that's what they can get from the market, that's, you know, what they earn. You know, if that's their skills demand, that's what they get. They have special talents. And then number two, these injuries. I mean, you see guys just, you know, breaking their leg, breaking their ankle. I marvel at the players who last 10, 15 years in the NFL. That to me is amazing, considering all the injuries that happen week in and week out. So Odell Beckham Jr. out, J.J. Watt out. Let's get to Sunday's action. Green Bay at Dallas was a marquee matchup. That's always going to get a lot of hype. Everyone's drooling over Aaron Rodgers, and I get it. He is a lock Hall of Fame quarterback. He's one of the best ever. Had a big scramble late in that game on third down. But I need a quick timeout here for a Roberts rant. This will just be a 30-second timeout. The defenses for both Dallas and Green Bay are pathetic with a capital P. They are embarrassing. Good grief. Can you get off the field one time in a big spot? Once can you get a stop? And people have actually given Green Bay's defense a nickname, Nitro. Please, when you are that terrible, and they are, you don't get a stinking nickname. Man, oh man. Green Bay allowed 6.5 yards a carry. You don't get a nickname when you're giving up that type of yardage on the ground. And Dallas gave up 408 total yards. Cowboys took 8:43 off the clock and went up 3 with 1:13 to go after a 17-play, 79-yard drive. They just could not get off the field. So don't tell me about Nitro. Nitro, nothing. But, and this is a fat Albert-sized but, they left too much time in the clock. And we all knew that Aaron Rodgers wasn't going to be stopped by that defense, right? I mean, you knew that. You knew it was going to happen. He went 75 yards in just over a minute and eventually hooked up with Devontae Adams down the left sideline for the game-winning touchdown pass, a 12-yarder, 35-31 Packers. Rodgers, 19-29, 221 yards, 3 touchdowns. And then the rookie out of UTEP, Aaron Jones. How many of you were scrambling to get him on your fantasy football league team? He ran for 125 yards and a touchdown, a coming out party for Aaron Jones. Dak Prescott, really good first half, not as much in the second half. Ezekiel Elliott got going in the second half, 29 carries, 116 yards. They started pounding him late. But the Cowboys made some really stupid mistakes. Throwing the ball in the red zone late instead of milking the clock, and then you get an incompletion and the clock stops. I don't know what that play call was about. Wasting a timeout on a short field goal by Green Bay. 12 men on the field. Fortunately, it was a 4th and 6 when that happened instead of a 4th and 5. I mean, they've got issues. They're 2-3, and that's as many losses as Dallas had all of last year. Green Bay now 4-1. You know who else is 4-1? Carolina. Panthers were up 17 in the fourth quarter at Detroit, hung on 27-24. The Lions are always an adventure in the final quarter, aren't they? The story here, undoubtedly Cam Newton. 26-33, 335 yards, big third down conversion late in the game, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. I mean, this had to be one of his better games. And they couldn't run the ball a lick. 28 rushing yards on 28 carries. So this game was all on Cam, and he came through. Now, last week, I ripped him, and I thought deservedly so, for how he responded to a female reporter in a press conference when she asked a legitimate question about the way one of his receivers was running his routes. And that type of behavior was childish and completely uncalled for. You know, and this is a guy who, when he lost the Super Bowl, just took off. Just couldn't handle the heat of answering questions, just got up and left. I mean, that's the same Cam Newton. So I'm not going to defend that. He deserved to get hammered for that. But as for his play on the field, I give the guy credit. That is a nice road win. The Lions were trying to get to 4-1 too. Just a case of too little too late for Detroit. Matthew Stafford took a beating. You know who else is 4-1 in the NFC? Those Philadelphia Eagles. They took Arizona behind the woodshed. This was a beatdown in South Philly. It was 21-0 in the first quarter. I mean, you don't see that in the National Football League. 34-7 was the final. Carson Wentz tossed a career-high 4 touchdown passes, hit on some deep balls too, and that's been a criticism of Wentz. I think everybody likes him. Everybody thinks he's a franchise quarterback, good size. He can run a little bit. Smart kid. Works extremely hard. Don't have to worry about him off the field for a second. Just a really good guy. But he has struggled with his accuracy on the deep ball. He was able to connect with Nelson Aguilar, who's having a big turnaround season, with Torrey Smith. And then on third down, listen to these numbers. 11 of 12, 225 yards, 3 touchdowns on third down. Wow. That is how you win in the National Football League. The two things I look at the most, number one is turnovers, number two, third down. And Wentz was 11 of 12 on third down. And 3 of his touchdown passes came on third down. He ended up passing for 304 yards. And now Philadelphia goes to Carolina. That is an intriguing Thursday night special. Some of these Thursday night games are just flat out duds. That's going to be a good one coming up. Arizona falls to 2-3. They look mediocre at best to me. There's some talented players there, but I see a mediocre football team. Another team that's looked mediocre at times this season, Seattle. But the Seahawks defense shut down the Rams 16-10. I was expecting more points in this game. I thought this one might go over. It ended up way, way under. Jared Goff completed less than 50% of his passes with 2 picks. Todd Gurley had just 43 yards, only 3.1 a carry, and a bad omen early. Looked like he had a touchdown run. He fumbles right at the pylon for a touchback. So that took 7 points off the board there early in the game. LA had 5 turnovers. I mean, it's amazing they were still in this game. And it wasn't like Russell Wilson and company lit it up either. 240 total yards for Seattle. So that offense is still a work in progress. That team is still a work in progress. But this is a good victory in the division. Now the Seahawks and the Rams are tied at 3-2. How about what went down in Pittsburgh? Steelers were the biggest favorite on the board, and they lost to the Jags 30-9. Lost by 3 touchdowns to Jacksonville, which is a classic Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde type of team. Last week, Antonio Brown had a temper tantrum. This week, Ben Roethlisberger fires a career-high 5 interceptions, including not 1, but 2 pick sixes. It went from 9-7 Pittsburgh in front to 20-9 Jacksonville in the blink of an eye. And the Jags defense is legit. I've said it before on this show. They have some good young players on that defensive side of the football. Le'Veon Bell, 3.1 a carry, only 47 yards for him. Now he's talking about how he wants more carries. Things aren't good right now in the Steel City. Meanwhile, Leonard Fournette rumbled for 181 yards and 2 scores. 90 of that did come on a very late touchdown run. Both these clubs 3-2. Who would have thunk it? The Jags only won 3 games all last year. And here they are at 3-2. Pittsburgh needs to regroup. I'm not going to say season over. I mean, we're not talking about a team like the Giants or the Chargers or the Browns here. But they do need to regroup because coming up this Sunday, they are at Kansas City. Chiefs are the best team in the NFL. I've had some people on Twitter asking about my power rankings. Listen, number one is a no-brainer. There's no doubt about it. It is the Kansas City Chiefs. And you can hit me up on Twitter too at TheSportsRPT. If you want to give me your rankings, feel free. Kansas City has to be number one. Andy Reid, Big Red, just keeps getting it done. They went to Houston and won 42-34 in prime time. Kansas City now 5-0. Big special teams play in this one. Tyreek Hill, he's fun to watch. 82-yard punt return touchdown that made it 39-20 midway through the fourth quarter. Ton of points scored in the fourth quarter here. If you had the over, you're smiling from ear to ear. Tyreek Hill, very dangerous player in the open field. Alex Smith, what can you say? He's brilliant. I mean, you have to look at him as an MVP candidate right now. 29 of 37, 324 yards, 3 touchdowns, only undefeated team in the league. Kareem Hunt went for 107 yards. Travis Kelce, 8 catches for 98 before he had to leave the game. And on the other side, the rookie out of Clemson, Deshaun Watson, just kept on fighting. He wound up with 5 touchdown passes. You better believe that there are some owners and some general managers in the National Football League who are kicking themselves right now for passing on this guy in the draft. He has energized a lethargic Texans offense. Remember how that offense was just the laughing stock of the National Football League? They had no quarterback at all. They couldn't score any points. Now he's scoring some points. The problem, though, is the injuries. Talked about not having Watt and Merciless. That's a killer. Raiders won 12 games last year. Vegas not high on Oakland this year, and it looks like the Vegas insiders out there in the desert may have been on point here. There's a reason the lights stay on out there. Oakland is 2-3 after a 30-17 loss at home to a Ravens team that is certainly not a juggernaut. This was 14-0 just 4 minutes into the game, thanks to Jared Cook's fumble, which was taken back the distance by Jimmy Smith. No Derek Carr, and the Oakland offense managed less than 250 total yards with E.J. Manuel at quarterback. And then after the game, offensive tackle Donald Penn confronts a fan out in the parking lot. He actually got out of his car and goes over. Now, there was security there and there was a fence there, but he got right up in front of this fan. Thankfully, it did not get physical. Penn claims that the fan threw a bottle at his car. The fan denies it. I mean, this looked like a scene from Monday Night Raw out of the Vince McMahon WWE playbook. Jeez, oh, you can't have players confronting fans in the parking lot. I know you're struggling now. 3 straight losses. You got to be better than that. The Titans, also without their quarterback, and it showed. Tennessee lost at Miami 16-10. The fans were calling for backup Matt Moore. They have, I think, seen enough of Jay Cutler. But Cutler did throw a tie-breaking 6-yard TD to Jarvis Landry. 10.5 minutes left. Cutler only threw for 92 yards. How do you win a game like that? He was 12 of 26. Matt Castle started for Mariota. He only threw for 140 yards. He was sacked 6 times. This was an ugly game, and we got some more to get to in a bit. Miami got a controversial 38-yard fumble return score early for a 10-0 lead. The Dolphins now 2-2. And what on God's green earth is up with that offensive line coach, Chris Forrester? Have you seen the video that surfaced late Sunday night? This guy is snorting a white powder, and talking to some woman about how he misses her. She is reportedly a Las Vegas model. This is beyond bizarre. I mean, he rolls up, I think it was a $20 bill, and he starts snorting this powder. He resigned. I mean, you have to at that point. And he's a longtime NFL assistant coach. The guy's in his mid-50s here. He's making $2.5 to $3 million a year. He's one of the most highest paid assistant coaches in the NFL. And I think he just threw his career away. This Dolphins organization, what's going on down there? I mean, this is a PR nightmare. You had the bullying incident with Jonathan Martin and Richie Incognito. Then you had the video of Laramie Tunsil. Remember that? He's using a gas mask bong, and that comes out right before the draft, and the Dolphins still take him. And now you have this. What is next? Actually, on second thought, please don't answer that, because it's not going to be good. We talked about the Giants and the myriad of injuries. Their game with the Chargers was abysmal. 21 combined penalties, Big Blue was up 5 in the fourth quarter. Eli was sacked and fumbled right after Beckham Jr. got hurt. L.A. took over at the 11-yard line, cashed in on a Phillip Rivers to Melvin Gordon 10-yard touchdown. Then Eli is picked off, and that iced it. This was fitting of two teams that came in at 0-4. And the same was true for a couple other games. The Jets are somehow 3-2. They won in Cleveland 17-14. Hugh Jackson 1-20. DeShone Kizer benched, 9 interceptions already for him. Cleveland had all kinds of chances in this. I mean, they should have been up double digits in this game, but kept making mistake after mistake after mistake. Missed field goal, turnover in the red zone, horrible pass defense late. And then the Colts-Niners matchup was another game where it did not look like anybody actually wanted to win. Indy blew a 14-point fourth quarter lead. San Francisco put together an 89-yard touchdown drive to tie it with 20 seconds remaining. Brian Hoyer to George Kittle on fourth and goal. Who is George Kittle? I have to ask the Niners fans that follow me on Twitter. Man, oh man. And then in overtime, Marlon Mack broke off a 35-yard run, and that set up Adam Vinatieri. And you know, this guy is money. And he nails a game-winning 51-yard field goal. Colts win 26-23. On the day, Peyton Manning's number 18 jersey was retired. They had a cool ceremony for him down on the field, and he was inducted into the Ring of Honor. Now, the other issue here, the vice president leaving. I'm not sure what he was expecting. Is he not aware that players have been kneeling at games all over the country? I'm all for freedom of expression. I talked about that on some recent shows. I defended the players' rights to kneel. I'm not saying I would do it, but in this country, we have freedom of speech. We have freedom of expression. As long as you do it in a peaceful manner, and certainly by kneeling, they're not injuring anybody. They're not attacking anyone. So I defended that. Likewise, I can't bash the vice president here because he has the right to get up and leave. I mean, did I agree with it? No. Was it staged? Maybe. But that's his choice. That's his prerogative. If he wants to get up and leave, he can leave. It was odd to me. Not sure what he anticipated because, like I said, everybody knows this is going on unless you've been living under a rock, but he has that right to leave. One last game from week 5. Cincinnati beat Buffalo 20-16. Total yards here, very lopsided in favor of the Bengals, 388-221, but Cincinnati had 3 turnovers, and that's how you keep a team in the game. 2 interceptions for Andy Dalton. Now, they're not his fault. He did throw for 328 yards, a real up and down day for the speedster AJ Green, who got the party started with a long touchdown catch, but then also had a case of butterfingers in this one. Cincinnati 2-3. So when it looked like they were really out of it, they have now won a couple games. And the Bills, that's a good win. Buffalo's not bad. Really good defensive team there. So that's our NFL segment here on episode 490 of the Sports Report podcast. Again, you can weigh in on anything you heard on Twitter at the Sports RPT. The Sports RPT. Let's get right into college football. Oklahoma was a 30-point favorite in Norman against an Ohio State team that was without its starting quarterback. And Oklahoma lost. What? A 30-point fave lost outright at home? 38-31 Cyclones in a shocker. Kyle Kemp threw for 343 yards, 3 touchdowns, including the game winner with 2:19 left. A great catch by Alan Lazard. This is only the second time since 1961 that Iowa State beat Oklahoma. And when you give up 513 yards, sorry, you don't deserve to win. Simple as that. And let's not forget that Oklahoma struggled with Baylor, and Baylor's 0-5. Sooners dropped from number 3 to number 12 in the AP poll. Michigan falls from number 7 to number 17 after losing to Sparty 14-10 on a rainy night in Ann Arbor. I mean, it was pouring in Michigan. And I've said since the preseason polls came out, I thought Michigan was overrated because of what they lost in the NFL draft. I mean, they just lost a ton. And I did not view them as a preseason top 10 team. Obviously, when you have a coach like Harbaugh, there's going to be a lot of hype. The Spartans have won 8 of the last 10 games against Michigan. How about that? Wolverines had 5 turnovers, 3 picks by John O'Korn, who was in for Wilton Spate. Michigan State did nothing on offense in the second half and still was able to win the game. Both teams now 4-1. Nick Saban was ticked off at his team for not finishing. The Tide left College Station with a win, 27-19 over Texas A&M. The Aggies got a late touchdown with under 20 seconds to go here. They were down 24-3. Listen, Alabama is not going to beat everybody by 60 points. But you want to know why they're so darn good? Because you have a coach who wins a road game against a solid team. Texas A&M isn't a bad team. You win a game on the road, and he's not patting anybody on the back. He's doing the opposite. He is furious because they did not play well in the second half. He's a perfectionist, detail-oriented, precise, meticulous. And if you want to win at the level he's won at, that's what you have to do. Coming into this year, Florida State was considered a national title contender. I thought they were really talented, but I thought the schedule was tricky. Through 4 games, the Seminoles are 1-3. That hasn't happened since 1976. I wasn't even born. What a roller coaster fourth quarter versus Miami. The U had lost 7 straight in this series. That's out the window now. Canes went up with 5 minutes to go. Then the Noles answered with 1.5 minutes left on a 20-yard TD pass by James Blackman. And then Miami engineered a 75-yard drive capped by Malik Rozier's 23-yard touchdown pass to Darryl Langham down that right sideline. Another really good catch. 6 seconds were left on the clock, and Miami wins it. Miami's 4-0 and up to number 11 in the AP poll, just 1 spot behind Auburn. Now, Auburn does have a loss, but that loss was to Clemson, the number 2 ranked team in the land. Penn State took care of Northwestern 31-7, so the Nittany Lions are up to number 3 this week. They still have some issues, though, on the offensive line and running the football. And they are followed by Georgia. The Bulldogs rolled over Vandy. How overrated was that Vanderbilt defense, by the way? I mean, people were just looking at numbers and not looking at who they played. And that's, you know, sometimes we get caught up in stats and overdo it. You have to look at who those numbers came against. Vanderbilt got punched in the mouth by Alabama and now loses by 31 to Georgia. 45-14 the final there. And Washington over Cal, 38-7. So Washington now at number 5. And that was a Cal team, if you remember, that gave USC all it could handle. Well, Washington had no trouble winning it by 31. That's our college football segment here on episode number 490 of the Sports Report. Paul Roberts with you every Monday on the Grizz. That is grizzlyproductions.tv. Also, for those of you on iTunes, just go to the podcast section, type in the Sports Report with Paul Roberts. Voila, you can listen to this show and all the previous shows that are all there on iTunes. And I'm on Twitter at TheSportsRPT, TheSportsRPT on Twitter. Always look for your questions, your comments there. One more Roberts rant before we wrap up. You know I'm a big-time Yankees fan. If you're a Yankees hater, hey, I don't hate you. Blame my dad. I got baby pictures. My dad, my mom dressing me and my brother up in Yankees stuff. My dad was a huge Yankees fan, big Mickey Mantle guy, collected all the cards, went to the game. So I'm a Yankees fan too. So is my brother. I don't think Joe Girardi's a terrible manager. I don't think Joe Girardi's a bad person. Far from it. But what he did in Game 2 of the ALDS at Cleveland is mind-boggling. It will go down in history as one of the worst managerial decisions of all time. Sixth inning. Yankees are up 8-3. 0-2 pitch to Lonnie Chisenhall. And the home plate umpire rules that the pitch hit him to load up the bases. Sends him down to first base. The catcher, Gary Sanchez, immediately signals to challenge the call because he caught the ball and he felt it was a foul tip, strike three, inning over. Two outs at the time. Girardi opts not to challenge the call. And it's definitely reviewable. Hit by pitch is reviewable. You can challenge that. He does not. What happens? Francisco Lindor, one of the best players in baseball, hits a grand slam off of Chad Green, and now it's 8-7. Cleveland rallied and won it in 13 innings, 9-8. A crushing defeat for the Yankees. Number one, you get two challenges. Even if you're wrong, you still have another challenge left. Number two, I don't want to hear the BS about disrupting the pitcher's rhythm. Please, take that around the corner. He can wait a little bit longer. It is a bases-loaded situation with Lindor coming to the plate. That's the priority here. Not ruining the rhythm of Chad Green. You have to challenge that, Joe. And he said that they didn't have the super slow-mo replay at that time. Just challenge it. You have two. I mean, you can't let them load up the bases there, especially with the reaction of your catcher, Gary Sanchez. He was adamant that he caught it, that it was a foul tip and not a hit by pitch. Oh, I can't believe he challenged that. So that was a tough, tough loss. And then Sunday night, back at Yankee Stadium for Game 3. And the Yankees did win it, 1-0. Big home run by Bird. And Tanaka was brilliant. I mean, his breaking ball just diving out of the zone. He was untouchable. Chapman came in, got in a little trouble late, but got out of it with two men on. And they won it 1-0. But when Joe Girardi was introduced, did you hear those boos? Oh, man. I mean, they're not going to forget that. Not going to forget it. And again, he's not an awful manager, but you had to challenge that. You had to. Sorry for the two Roberts rants in one podcast, but I can't make this stuff up. I can't. Let me know your thoughts on that. I'm on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. TheSportsRPT. Great time of year. Baseball, playoffs, NFL, college football, NHL started, preseason hoops, NBA will be right around the corner, and college basketball, my favorite. So a lot of good stuff going on right now. And you can weigh in on Twitter, whatever you want to talk about in the world of sports. I'm at TheSportsRPT. We will do it again next Monday. Have a great week, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. Tell your friends, family members about the show. With you every Monday. This is episode number 490 of The Sports Report. I'm Paul Roberts on GrizzlyProductions.tv and iTunes.